God bless you. Glad to be back here again. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've got a simple home church message for tonight. I'd like to read from Isaiah, the 6th chapter, we'll read the first 8 verses. Isaiah 6, starting from the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. How many would like to be remembered in prayer? Father, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth that we were formed from, Lord, we recognize, Lord, your awesome glory. Lord, just talking about you warms our hearts. Lord, there's no amount of worship that we could give you that you're worthy of, but we, with our feeble efforts, we'll give you what we can, Lord. And from the bottom of our hearts, we say, Holy, holy, holy. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the land. Lord, anyone really that's afflicted with this virus, we ask for your healing, your comfort, Lord, your peace. And loved ones, Lord, that those that have had loved ones that have passed on, may you give them comfort, Lord. And Father, those of like precious faith, we ask, Lord, that you would heal them and that you would restore, Lord, what the enemy has brought into the camp, that you'd restore the health of your children, Lord, and that they'd be able to have services again in places where the services have been canceled. And Lord, we're thankful that we're standing here, and we just know it's your grace, Lord. It's nothing that we've done. It's nothing that we can claim. Our trust is in you completely. And Lord, all the hands that were raised in the building tonight and those that are listening in, we have full expectation, Lord, that as we make our requests known, that, Lord, that you've heard our requests, and Lord, that you're sending your angels, even as we speak, to minister to the elect of God, to the children of God. And so, Lord, we thank you in advance for answering those prayers. And Lord, we ask that you'd be with us in the remainder of this service, Lord, as we've read your word. We ask that you'd break it down for us, that you'd quicken it, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would do the supernatural amongst us, Lord. Father, those that are sick, may they be healed, even as we're sitting in our seats here tonight or listening in. Lord, those that need deliverance, may they be set free. Those that need encouragement, may they be lifted up and encouraged, Lord. Our confidence is in you. Our peace comes from you. Our joy is Lord, you're the source of all of our joy. You're the source of every good thing. And Lord, we're a needy people here tonight. And Lord, it doesn't matter. The further that we go in you, the more we recognize just how much we need you. And Lord, we want to get to the place where we're just totally dependent upon you for everything. Father, we'll give you all the praise and honor and glory. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I want to title the thought here tonight, Forgiving One Another. Forgiving one another. And that may sound like a elementary type message, and it is, but it's nevertheless true, and it's there's a power in forgiveness, and it's something that wouldn't hurt us to be reminded of every now and then, because like anything in the scripture, these things are keys, and if you take the right key, it doesn't matter who you are. If you take the right key and put it into the door, it'll unlock the door, and it'll open up things to you. Praise the Lord. So the scene in our text here tonight is, it took place in the year 758 B.C., so you know, about almost 800 years ago, or 800 years before the birth of Christ. And it was when King Uzziah had passed off the scene after being shut up with leprosy for the last days of his life. And Uzziah died a king under a cloud, suffering from leprosy. And of course, we know leprosy is a type of sin and unbelief. The king of Judah had passed on. And no doubt there was a heaviness that came at the passing of the leader of their nation. And Isaiah had a vision one day. And he sees another king sitting upon a throne, but this one is high and lifted up. And this king also is under a cloud, but it's a glory cloud and not a cloud of controversy. The earthly mortal king has passed away, but Isaiah sees the heavenly king in all of his glory. What a privilege, what an honor it was for Isaiah to be shown this. His garments fill the temple, and his garments are glorious. And he's attended by seraphims, as we've read here, and each one having six wings. They've got two covering their face, they've got two covering their feet, they've got two that are keeping them aloft, and they're attending to this one that's seated on the throne, and they're surrounding the mercy seat, and it's a type of the ministry that will one day surround him and will declare his glory. So these beings are heavenly, and yet their feet and their faces are covered before the king. One cries out, "Holy, holy, holy," and every time that word is spoken, it's fresh. It's not vain repetition. It's fresh every single time. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. They testify of his holiness and to his righteousness and to the declaration of his glory upon the earth. So the mortal king of Israel, he's not to be compared at all to the king of all the earth. This is the worthy one. This is the holy one. This is the righteous one. So the sound of his voice is declaring his glory, and it causes the doorposts of the temple to shake. Think about it, friends. And a glory cloud descends above the throne and fills the sanctuary. The doorposts, of course, they represent the sanctuary, the entrance to this holy place. And they show us that the human heart will one day be moved at the hearing of the word. And the righteous king will be seated in all of his glory upon his throne in the human heart. So when Isaiah comes into his presence, he's convicted of his sins. And he sees his complete unworthiness. And he cries out in repentance. And he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. No arguments, no excuses. The words uttered from my lips are unclean, he says. The communication of my lips is unclean. Neither can it be. Isaiah was born a prophet. But he was born under the bondage of sin, just as every other man that was born of the will of the flesh or born of sexual desire. And he comes before the presence of the king, and his heart is just shook. And he's convicted of his unrighteousness. And he's convicted of his corrupt communication from his lips. And he knows that there's nobody that's worthy. And he no doubt weeps when he considers this. Now this scene is similar to the one in Revelation chapter 4. But instead of finding a worthy one to open a book, we are seeing a worthy one who's able to take away our sin. And friends, we never want to minimize that. We never want to play that down. That is the most supernatural thing that will ever happen to you. Isaiah cries out, woe is me, for himself, and then on behalf of the people. Isaiah is convinced of his sin and convicted, and of the sin of the people. And he realizes that he's not capable even of clean communication, because his lips are unclean, and they therefore defile his speech. Whatever comes out is not going to be clean. What a recognition, what a realization. Friends, that's the grace of God. And when he cries out, woe is me, he's confessing his sin from a repentant heart. And he's confessing the sin of the people as well and asking for their forgiveness. He's so sorry for his sin, and he wishes it could be another way. So after declaring these words, one of the creatures takes great big tongs, perhaps, and grabs a coal from the altar and touches the prophet's lips with this coal of fire. Now, obviously, it's not natural fire because he wouldn't have been able to withstand it, but it's holy fire. It's the same holy fire that burns through you when you go through a trial and leaves you with nothing but deity. Notice the seraphim himself cannot touch this burning coal. And coal, of course, is made of carbon, which we and most living matter here on the earth are made of. And it's burning. Verse 7 says, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Amen. Oh my, just think about it, friends. Notice, it's the lips that are purged with fire, so that his communication is no longer corrupt. Amen. He might have had the right words to say, but the wrong condition of his lips. His sins were forgiven, his sins were purged, and his iniquity was taken away. Now this is unheard of in the Old Testament, because we know that under the Old Testament covenant of blood, of the blood of bulls and goats, the sins were covered. They weren't taken away. They were covered. And one day they would be blotted out by the holy blood of the Holy One. So Isaiah's sins are purged, and he's received forgiveness of his sins. And then another cry goes forth. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Now, in order for Isaiah to prophesy again, if you will, he first had to have a personal experience with the one who takes away his sin. And he had to confess his sin. He had to be convinced of his sin, convicted of it. And then his lips had to be purified by fire. So the Lord is looking for one to speak to his people, to prophesy again. But the vessel that he would use had to first be justified in type, sanctified in type, and then he had to have the holy fire on his lips, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. So when Isaiah declared, "Send me, be it unto me according to thy word," then the word of the Lord came to him to speak to the people. It wouldn't have come if he hadn't have repented. It wouldn't have come if he hadn't have declared, "Forgive me, Lord, woe is me." Now imagine how this scene would have played out if Isaiah failed to confess his sin, and therefore was not forgiven, therefore was not purged of his sin. What if he said instead, "I have need of nothing. I'm rich, increased with goods." Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another." That's the title of our thought here tonight. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You say, "Brother Baker, this is elementary, it's baby food." This was to the Ephesian church. So evidently, the elect church of the age, the one that was furthest along, had a little trouble with holding things in their heart. And because of that, it hindered their walk a little bit. So Paul tells us that something needs to take place in our lives to change our manner of speech also, just as something had to take place in Isaiah's life. You and I, we were not capable of having pure speech before our conversion because all of us were unclean. All of us were born in sin. All of us were shapen in iniquity. We were all unclean. There's not one that was just. But when we became new creatures in Christ Jesus, our lips and our hearts are purified by the Holy Spirit and by fire, so that our lips can now minister grace unto the hearers. Our conduct towards one another is now to build up one another, to edify one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to be kind, and to overlook one another's humanity. God help us. We overlook one another's humanity, and we recognize, "Father, that's my brother, that's my sister, and I hold nothing to their account. I release them from any debt. I forgive my brother. I forgive my sister. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me." Do we recognize the power of forgiveness? Isaiah couldn't be used to speak unto the people until first he repented and his sins were purged. Now, friends, that's the message to the Laodicean church age. Out of all the ages, they're being called to repentance. And they're being called to repent zealously. Their lips are unclean because his admonition to them was, "Thou sayest, you're rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. And you don't recognize that you're wretched, poor, and blind, and naked." Right? So their lips are unclean, so what's coming out of their lips are unclean words. Amen. "I have need of nothing." That's a lie. You have need of him. Yes. "I'm rich. You're poor." I've got all the clothing I need. "You're spiritually naked," he says. He says, I tell you, repent. Zealously repent with zeal. Be excited about it. You should be excited about it, because if he didn't convict you, you couldn't repent. And if he didn't tell you what was right and what was wrong, you couldn't make it right. Oh, we just take that for granted, but we shouldn't, friends. The only reason we know right from wrong is because he's convicted us of our sin. Hallelujah. So Isaiah had to repent, and then his sins were purged. Our words will not help others as long as we're not forgiven. They'll just fall right on off. God doesn't have to honor them. We're told if you're going to bring an offering to the Lord and someone has ought against you, or you have ought against someone, go make that right first, and then bring your gift. So our words won't help other people as long as we are not forgiven. And we cannot carry out the Great Commission. We can't finish the Great Commission to prophesy again, to go to all the world preaching the gospel, as long as we are in sin. We cannot preach the gospel of Christ until we've met Christ, of course. And you cannot meet him and not be convicted of your sin. And once you're convicted of your sin and you repent with a sorrowful repentance, you can be born again from above. But realize that this gospel that we preach, it's a gospel of forgiveness. Let me say that again. This gospel, we can make it hard if we want to. It's not, though. It's a gospel of forgiveness, first and foremost. And we cannot preach a gospel of forgiveness without a pure heart. A heart that's free from bitterness. A heart that's free from clamor. A heart that's free from evil speaking. A heart that's free from malice, which are attributes of an unforgiving heart. That's how those things find their ways into the heart. That's how those things stay in the heart, is because there's a lack of forgiveness. But friends, if we recognize that we truly recognize that we're forgiven, that God has forgiven us, we'll automatically want to forgive others and not hold a ledger. Now, before we go any further, I'm quite aware that forgiveness is not whitewashing sin. Forgiveness is not compromising with sin, saying, oh, that's okay. And it's not saying that sin is not sin. It is. If that were the case, then what are we saying about our own forgiveness from sin? We don't whitewash that. But forgiveness is declaring, I'm not holding you as a debtor to me. You don't owe me anything. I'm releasing you of a debt. You do owe me this debt. I'm not denying that. But I'm releasing you from it. Shall we close? I'm not holding this to your account. If the Lord were to come right now, I wouldn't want that to be on your ledger. I'm releasing you from it. And as we'll see here tonight, friends, when we forgive, then our faith grows. Because faith and forgiveness are linked together. Without forgiveness, you can't have faith. Now, you're going to need to forgive Holy Ghost-filled believers, as well as what you might think is make-believers or unbelievers. It's not our place to try to figure out who's who. But there's nobody that you're exempt from forgiving. Because as long as we're in these mortal bodies, friends, we're going to make mistakes. We're not trying to, but we will. Well, Brother Baker, is there a list somewhere of what kind of mistakes that I can make and be sealed by the Holy Ghost? Well, some pastors think that they have that list. Brother Baker, if I'm sealed, does that mean that I will never offend anybody? Friends, you can offend and not even recognize that you're doing it. And then have to say that you're sorry. And you will ask for forgiveness if you're sealed. And if you're asking for forgiveness, then that means you did something wrong. Maybe like Brother Branham, you know, when the lawyer called his house and said, Billy, so-and-so's on the phone, he wants to talk to you. And he says, tell him I'm not here. She says, but you are here. He says, but I won't be when you tell him. And then he went to pray for somebody that very night. And that came back to him. And he couldn't pray for that person until he first went and made that right. Think about it, friends. Oh, this is baby food. A prophet. Sealed by the Holy Ghost. Gifted. Couldn't help this person that he was praying for until that thing was off his conscience. What about us? You know, sometimes you have no choice of the temperament that you're born with. And there aren't any good temperaments or bad temperaments. But let's say you have a choleric temperament. You're kind of fiery. You're kind of quick to speak. And you might speak sharply or abruptly and grieve the spirit that's in your brother or sister. And the spirit in you will tell you, go make that right. Friends, if you're walking with the Lord, you won't need a rule book. You won't need somebody to come and tap you on the shoulder. If you're walking with Him, He'll be sure to tell you, that wasn't right. Go make that right. This is not giving you a pass as a Holy Ghost-filled believer to live as you once lived. You don't want to live as you once lived. And no, you're not going to commit adultery, and you're not going to rob a bank. But you might say something that wasn't thoughtful. Or you might misunderstand somebody. Or dismiss somebody. You might find yourself putting yourself first in a situation. And then when the Spirit deals with you, you'll repent and make it right. Oh, friends, we're talking about ready to speak the word. Sons and daughters of God, fully surrendered. Amen. You say, but these are little things. It's all little things. Yes. And we were told at the end of the seals, don't try to figure things out. Watch the little things. God will make sure you catch the big things when they come along. Amen. So we know that the sin question has been settled, and we know that the nature has been changed, but we know that we will make mistakes, and we know that we have to repent. Yes. We have to make things right. Yes. We know that your desires are no longer for sin. You're not desiring the things of the world and feeling bad that you can't have them. You don't want those things any longer. Amen. You're a new person. You're a new creature. You have new desires, new tastes. But the tongue will still need to be bridled. And we will still need to sweeten our lives with prayer on a daily basis. And we will not be the ones doing all the forgiving, but we will also be asking for forgiveness as well. Okay, I'm just warming up. I'm going to go preach to another church. I'm just trying it out on all you saints and just to see how it goes over, okay? I haven't met anybody yet that doesn't make mistakes, including you, including me. I haven't met anybody yet that doesn't need to ask for forgiveness, including you, including me, including our prophet messenger. So we must first repent and accept our pardon for sin, and then we're given a new spirit. And the Holy Spirit works on cleaning us up in the process of sanctification. But we have to die out completely to sin, sell out completely to Him, in order for that quickening power to come and germinate that seed that's down on the inside. Friends, the power that comes with the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the power to live right. Amen. We're sealed by His Spirit, and His Spirit makes His abode down within us, and His Spirit guides us, leads us, comforts us, writes His word in our hearts, yes, corrects us, chastens us, rebukes us, encourages us, whatever it is that we have need of. And as we eat that word, friends, the word that we eat brings our mortal bodies under His control. That's why we must eat the word. That's why we must come to church. That's why we have to hear the word. But for that word to be revealed to us, and for us to be able to walk in it, we must freely forgive. We can. Scripture says, Paul tells us in Corinthians 13, he says, though I understand all mysteries and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Right? So we can know all the mysteries and still miss out, right? In other words, we can know all the mysteries and have a wrong spirit. We can know all the mysteries and have an unforgiving heart. And if anything, we're worse off than if we never would have known any of it. So what is forgiveness? Thank you for asking. From the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, to give up resentment of, or claim to requital for, like to forgive an insult, to grant relief from payment, that's to forgive a debt, to cease to feel resentment against an offender, that's to pardon, to forgive one's enemies. So the word forgiveness, first of all, I want you to notice it's an action word. How many knows what the term is for an action word? We're going back to second, third grade, I think. What is an action word? Verb. Thank you. You get a gold star. It's something that we actively do. It's an action word. It's not people, place. It's not a noun. It's not who, what, where, how, when. It's a verb. It's action. And until we forgive, we're actually carrying something around inside of us on behalf of somebody else. And it's a weight. And it affects you. You say, I'm not going to let it affect me. It won't affect me. I'll just bury it. I'll just this or I'll just that. Or it's a law. It will affect you. What we carry around in us, it affects us, and it also affects other people that are around us. The human spirit must do something with that thing that we carry around. We weren't created to be offended. But then there was a fall. We weren't created to be afraid, but then there was a fall. We weren't created to have sickness, but then there was a fall. And the body doesn't take it too well. Something has to intervene. If we don't do something with that weight that's in us, we'll wall up. You know, build a wall to insulate ourselves, which becomes a prison. Or we'll get a complex from it. And we'll start running everything through that complex. Everybody wants to hurt me. I'm just going to be careful. I'm not going to let anybody else try to be my friend, because every time I have, I've got hurt, right? Those things are natural. Those things are human. So left alone, it can cause feelings of anger, feelings of hurt, bitterness to tempt us. And even though we might be the one that suffered the wrong, and I want you to listen close to this tonight, because really that's where we want to go. Maybe you're the one that suffered the wrong. But you need to move from being a victim Because if you don't move from being a victim, you'll become a victimizer. Yes, you've been hurt, but now you're going to hurt others. One way that we hurt others is we tell them of the offense, or we lash out. The only person that you should tell, friends, if this is such baby food, let's every one of us do this. From this night on. From this night on, you say, this is no big deal. Okay, do it then. When somebody offends you, don't tell anyone but that person and the Lord. But don't tell another living soul. Other people, friends, we might get sympathy. We might get people to feel sorry for us, whatever. But we don't need that. What we need is to unburden our soul. What we need is to be set free from it. And the only way we can do that is by going to the one that brought the offense. In a humble way. So the way to handle it is to release it. And it'll take the Holy Ghost in our lives to do that. It will take time on our knees. Because the natural reaction is not to do that. Particularly if you're kind of an introverted type person. You try to avoid conflict. But friends, the Holy Ghost, these things, it doesn't matter what your temperament is. We're all expected to forgive. So if we're expected to, then there must be a way for us to do it. Let me give you an example, and I'll preface it. All of us have come from somewhere, okay? All of us have been hurt. If you haven't, you will be, right? But if you're still holding something in hardness in your heart because of hurt from another pastor or another church, you got to deal with that. Oh, well, I'm talking about all of us. Friends, I know people that 25 years ago they got hurt and they still hold it. And it affects you. So it takes time on our knees before the throne in order to release it many times and to bring the healing that we need. So if the one that is offended is part of the body, well, then that person can bring it to a conclusion and release you from it by coming to you and asking you for forgiveness. Without excuses. You know, there's all kinds of, well, like, if I offended you, I'm sorry. Don't know if. It's not theoretical. You wouldn't be saying it if it was just theory. Right? I'm sorry I slapped you after you slugged me. No, you don't blame the other person. It's your part. I learned this from mom and dad. But she, I don't care. But she. Well, it's worse to know that it was wrong and then you did it back. Wow, zinger. When it's forgiven, friends, it's released. And it can do no more injury. There are people that leave churches and lie through their teeth, never go to the person that supposedly has caused them a problem, and then they go to another church and bring that with them and lie through their teeth, and then they try to get people to visit their new church and lie through their teeth. Now, are they better off? Are you better off? Let's just say for a moment that what they're saying is true. What's being done about it? Well, you can't talk to that person. I don't care. You will not go in the rapture and face the Lord and say, well, I would have made it right, but you can't. It doesn't matter what the other person does. That's just another lie anyway. All of us can make things right. Doesn't matter who you are. Nobody should miss eternal life because of an offense that we cause them that they don't let go of. There are people that are not bright. A lot. That if they are offended by you and they speak evil of you and they don't make it right, they'll have to give an account for it. People will miss it because of things we've done or said. It ain't worth it, friends. I don't want anybody to miss it because of something they did to me. I don't want anybody to go to hell because of something they did to me. Whatever anybody does to me is small compared to going to hell. And you can loose them of that by forgiving. Henry, the keys are in the top drawer. A person's faith is hindered when they don't forgive. And we can cause their faith to be free. We can be a part of allowing somebody's faith to grow. And we can go to them and take from them what we've caused them to carry. We can see that even in the natural, people who are repeatedly wronged early in their life, they have a lot to overcome in order to grow. You see a family where a father or a mother has been overbearing, and a child has always been the wrong party no matter what. No matter what they did, they're always wrong. And they're told they can't ever speak back in their defense. Well, then that child's growth and that child's development is going to suffer. And that child will find that it never speaks up until it's fed up. And then there's a great explosion. And then there's an expression of all that's pent up, and it doesn't come out right. And it comes out maybe hurtful, but the person has no experience at it because they've never been able to let it out. So it just comes out, kablammo. And when it does, and everybody's ducking, then they say, well, that didn't go over too well. I'm never going to. It just reinforces not saying anything. And that child, no fault of their own, but without Christ, that child will grow into an unforgiving adult. And will also begin to imagine wrongs that are done to them. The only hope we have is Christ, friends. And the only way that we can do this is to first be forgiven. Is to first receive our forgiveness. So a person without a new birth that's in that type of a category will have headship issues automatically. Will quickly speak against others that have the rule over them. Why? Because they've been hurt by authority figures. All because of the unforgiveness of the heart. That person will be focused on their own feelings above the feelings of others, the needs of others. They'll be incapable of loving others, and many times, tragically, themselves. How do I know? I've been there. Now, I know all of you were born with halos, but I had to learn to forgive before I could receive my own forgiveness. So you see, there's power in forgiveness. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this angel food, this light bread. The message. We're sick of it. We need something else. Need something tantalizing. Blood moons. Disbelieve the sign. Whatever. Something to get us excited. This light bread is not doing anything for us. Jesus said, I was that manna that was in the wilderness. This is a living word, friends. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses, and they said, we have sinned. They're repenting. We've sinned because we've spoken against the Lord, and we've spoken against you. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. Now, Moses would have to forgive in order to do that. Because if he didn't forgive, he couldn't pray. Instead, he'd say, Lord, send down fire. Smite them, Lord. So they had to recognize first that they'd done wrong. And then they had to genuinely repent without excuse. And then they asked the prophet to pray for him. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So notice, Israel spoke against God and spoke against Moses, who represents the ministry, and complained about what they were being fed. Now, I know none of you have to worry about this, so just remember, this is for the church down the street, okay? They didn't like what was being preached. And they lost confidence that they were being led to the rapture. I mean, to the promised land. And they began to complain among themselves. Friends, if you can't see this type, you are blind. If you think it's ever okay to get together and complain, you are dead wrong. And if you ever exalt somebody that instigated that and got you doing that, then you need to find an altar somewhere. Christ isn't in this. The kingdom doesn't fight against itself. They didn't like what was being preached. Perhaps they were sending Moses notes at this point saying, why don't you preach on this and preach on that instead? We're tired of hearing this. Well, they did say they were tired of the light bread. They were tired of hearing that kind of preaching. God, of course, he sees all. He hears all.
Amen.
And what was his solution? He sent fiery serpents among them. And when they were bit, the poison burned like fire, and many died. Today, many die spiritually. They get bit by that devil. So the first thing after getting bit was pain. There would be an intense pain. And then they found that their walk was stopped. They couldn't go any further. And then they fell. These are all natural types of what happens in a spiritual walk. The poison then began to spread, and they'd swell up, and eventually they'd die. It's a painful way to go, from what I understand. But notice, many of them repented. And they came to Moses and they confessed their wrong without being told. I hope you're listening. They said, "We have spoken against the Lord and you. Pray for the Lord to take away our sin, the serpents." Now, they might have went through prayer line after prayer line when they got bit. They might have asked Moses to pray for them. But it wasn't until they repented and asked for forgiveness that God heard Moses' prayer on their behalf. In other words, you can go through prayer line after prayer line, have a request, have a need, stand before a called man of God, a gifted man of God, and nothing will happen if there's something you need to repent of. It wasn't until they repented and asked for forgiveness that God heard Moses' prayer on their behalf. I'm sure Moses was concerned. I'm sure it broke his heart. I'm sure Moses would have done anything in his own power to turn things around for him. But he was powerless because there was unforgiveness. Keep in mind, Moses didn't send the serpents, which represents sin and sickness and death. Now, I want to be careful here. I'm sensitive. I pick up things in meetings. I pick up things as I'm preaching. I want to be sensitive here and note that some churches will say, well, because you got sick or because this bad thing happened, it's because you left us. That's from the pits of hell. You didn't leave God. You didn't renounce your salvation. Don't let the devil lie to you like that. People asked for forgiveness. Moses prayed. And God told Moses, he said, "Moses, form a serpent out of brass." And then he told him to tell the people to look upon this brass serpent that was on a pole. If ever they were bitten, and then they'd be healed from this snake bite and they'd live. Notice, God didn't take away the serpents. So don't pray for God to take that away. He's not going to. The serpents were still there. But the cure was there also. And of course, brass is a symbol of judgment. And the serpent represents sin and sickness and death. By raising it up on the pole, it showed that sin was judged. And it was judged between heaven and earth. And anybody that looked upon it and accepted the price that was paid for sin could be freed from the penalty of sin. And we know that Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became that serpent on the pole. He became our sin, and he was judged for our sin, and he was hung between heaven and earth. And if you looked upon him and repented, you would live. You and I, we were bitten by sin from birth. We were snake bitten from the womb, and death was setting in as a result. But we can now look to the one, friends, that hung between heaven and earth. We can look to the one that took our sin upon himself, the one that was judged in our place, and the one that was condemned to hell. And we can look and live. Now, how can we hold something against somebody else when we've been released in such a way? Amen. From the junction in time, Brother Bram says, "Now I appreciate the fine attendance, all you've done. Is there anybody here sick? Anybody that wants to be remembered in prayer? Now would you raise your hand? Is there anybody sick? Lady one, all right. Sir, that's very fine. Praise the Lord for you. Now, the very same gospel that I preach to you here of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ that'll take away every sin from you will take every sickness from you also. He was wounded for our transgressions. That's the reason I preach the things that I do. By his stripes, we were healed. Jesus in the Bible, listen, what Jesus said in St. John 3, as Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What did Moses lift up the brass serpent for? Because the people were chatting and backslidden again, talking about God's servant and God, and they were bitten by snakes and were sick and were dying, and it was lifted up for forgiveness of their sins and for the healing of their bodies. And Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the brass serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, the same reason. And today, he's wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes, you were already, past tense, healed. Can you believe it? Can you accept it? Your cancer will leave you. Now he's telling him, repent first. And then the same one that forgave you of your sin will also heal you. Do you believe that he's forgiven you? Yes. Well, can you believe that he already, past tense, has healed you? Can you believe it? Can you accept it? Your cancer will leave you. Your tumor will go away. Your blindness will go from your eyes. Deafness from your ears. No matter what it is, he will do it if you will believe. You believe it, he says? Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive.
Amen.
Wow. This is standing, speaking the word. And he's saying, speak the word. Pray, ask. But when you're standing there praying, forgive.
Amen.
This is all the way through, friends. This is not something we just do one time. All the way through. Forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Strong stuff, isn't it? Perfect faith. He says, now faith is based on forgiveness. And then, as we said this morning, trying to get the church into a place to where we could really see apostolic times moving among us. That's what we all hunger. And it's just laying right at the door. We see it, but we want to see more of it. We want it in such a flow that it'll be a help to us. Flow out to others. I wonder if this is where the delay is in the manifestation of the spoken word. Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Unforgiven sin. Something as simple as holding something against somebody else can cause somebody to miss their healing. Can cause somebody to be taken off the scene. They didn't lose their salvation, but taken off the scene, he says. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Again, from questions and answers, Brother Bram says, now, if the spirit of Elijah upon John would make John act like Elijah, the spirit of God upon you will make you act like Jesus. Yeah. Nah, he couldn't have. Nah. Really? He didn't say that. You act like Jesus? How could that be? He says, now, there's where you find the Holy Spirit, see? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Listen to this. It makes you meek. It makes you humble. It makes you forgiving. Could they pull whiskers from your face, sisters? Could they pull whiskers from your face if you had them there? Jerk them out and spit in your face? When you had power to call legions of angels, could you do that for the love of people that spitting in your face? Help us, Lord. Not without a little bit of prayer, I'd say. But yes, you could do that. Could you do it if somebody just walked up to you and said, hey, you hypocrite, and smacked you on one side of the face? Could you pray for their forgiveness? Now that's where he says that will test whether you got the Holy Spirit or not. This goes beyond churchianity, friends. When somebody says something evil against somebody, sometimes that claims to have the Holy Spirit, well, I'll get even with her if it takes me my last day. See? Now there's where you check about your Holy Spirit. See, blessed are you when men shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake or for the Son of Man's sake. But you go get even with them? No. Rejoice, being exceedingly glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. See? When somebody says evil about you, say something good. Why? When somebody says evil about you, say something good. If you can't say something good about them, then don't say nothing. Amen. Just let it go. And when you get to yourself, pray for them. Actually, when you get to yourself and you pray for them, you're actually praying for yourself. Because only He can lift that from you. It's real pain. Nobody likes to be misunderstood. Nobody likes to be misrepresented. Nobody likes people to think evil of them. Only the Lord can lift that from you, though. So in order to be forgiven, we have to truly repent. And it's not just to God that we repent. If it's just a sin, if it's a sin against God, then sure. But we can sin against our mate. We can sin against our brother. We can sin against ourselves. If we sin against a brother or sister, a mate or a child, we have to truly repent and ask for forgiveness. And it takes godly sorrow. And then the very act, because it's a verb, the very act of asking for forgiveness. Again, in Revelation chapter 4, Brother Bram says, by faith we're walking, grace. What God did for you, that's right. You believe God, you believe on God, and as soon as you are sorry, you're already forgiven. As I was speaking to a brother yesterday, kind of got a little mixed up on it, and I said, look, brother, if you said something to hurt your wife's feelings, immediately you'd feel sorry for her. You're sorry you did it. You already repented in your heart. That's right. But you got to go tell her about it. You got to go say, honey, I'm sorry I said that. Then you've thoroughly repented. Now that's the way it is with God, he says. A man that would go and say, well, I hurt her feelings, but it don't make any difference. I'll tell her I'm sorry, but really I'm not. He says, you're a hypocrite. I'm glad he just laid it on out, aren't you? He's not saying that to be mean or hurtful. He's just laying it out. You're a hypocrite. See, that's right. That will never be received by God. You've got to thoroughly be sorry for your sins. Then, when you know that you're sorry for your sins, and then repentance, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you shall receive forgiveness, receive the Holy Ghost. See, just simple. God made it so simple. I'm convinced, friends, that there's too many people that have not fully repented. And that's why they don't have the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad tonight that he's forgiven you of your sins? Do you still remember the big load that was lifted off of you? Can you remember that, friends? When you repented and you knew that it was lifted. You knew that you were forgiven. You knew that that God forgave you and you're not going to hell. You knew that. Knowing that, we should do everything that we can to travel light. That is a secret to this walk, friends. Don't carry baggage. Amen. Deal with whatever you have to deal with. If it takes the skin off of you, and it does. But it feels so good to be free of it. To not carry baggage. A lot of times there'll be a burden of, you know, it's like procrastination. You know, you're told at the beginning of the term, the semester at school, that you've got this term paper that's going to be due at the end, right? So you start on it right away, right? Not if you're like some of us that procrastinate. Oh, I got plenty of time, right? Then you wait till the last minute. Well, guess what happens? I mean, somebody told me this. Guess what happens? You live in absolute misery for like the last month because you know that the date's coming and you haven't done anything. And you dread it, and you dread it, and you dread it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and heavy. And it affects your sleep, and it affects this, and affects that. And then you're almost hopeless, thinking, well, it's too late to, you know, if I even start right now, I'll never finish it. And it's just so heavy. But then you finally say, well, you know, might as well just buckle down, get at it. And you start working on it. It doesn't take too long for all that dread to start to lift. And you find out this big load, this big heaviness, is a whole lot bigger than the job was to begin with. And you feel so good when it's all done. And you think, I should have done that. Next time, nah. Go to that person and ask for forgiveness. If you yourself, I find that this is a bigger problem. If you yourself are offended by somebody, go to that person that you suffered offense from and not to others. And tell that person, I forgive you. They can argue with you. They can fuss. They can backpedal. They can say, I never, whatever. You just stick to your... You just stick to it and don't let anything get in your heart. You just stick to it and say, I forgive you. I release you from it. They can deny that there's anything to be released from, but do it anyway. And it'll help you. And down the road, it'll help that person too. We might be able to get sympathy from others, but the load will still stay there until you go to that person. We've all got friends that will look at us and, oh, poor baby. Poor thing. Wow, you've been through. Wow, that's awful. Can't believe how you've been treated. But it doesn't cure the problem. Okay, you got some sympathy, but you still have that thing in your heart. and it still needs to be delivered. And there's only one address it can be delivered to, and that's where it came from. And if we don't do that, then you and the one who offended you will be held back until it's dealt with. So it doesn't just affect you. So when you're asked why you're upset, or how about this? Why aren't you coming to church anymore? No reason. When you're asked why you're upset, don't hide behind it and say, it won't do any good to tell you. Or, I'm afraid you'll get mad. Person might get mad. But those are excuses. And there's no scripture that will back you up for not going to that person. If you're born again of the Spirit, you will forgive. And you will also ask for forgiveness. Friends, if we can't forgive, we can't have faith. And if we can't have faith, it's impossible to please God. Actually, we can't be born again of the Spirit without faith. So it's all based on forgiveness. The devil always wants to keep these things secret. But they're only secret from those that can do something about it. That's the tragedy. If the person that could do something about it doesn't know or isn't asked, then they can't do anything. The devil knows the power of forgiveness, friends. And when you go, I remember years ago, I don't know why, I just always wanted to show that we weren't proselyting any other churches, that we were trying to stay in fellowship with everybody no matter what. And so they'd have special meetings and we'd go, and invariably I would go. I remember one time I went to a certain church and a brother that I'd known for many years came up to me afterwards. Oh, Brother Doug, it's so good to see you. I haven't seen you for a long time. And I'm thinking, well, you haven't tried, but it's good to see you too. And Brother Doug, I got something I need to make right with you. It's something that bothers me. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we ran. It must be the Lord that we ran into each other. You know, I've went around and I've said all kinds of things about you that weren't true. And I just want to tell you that I'm sorry. And he looked like a big load was lifted. But what he did was he dumped a load on me. Now, I had no idea what he'd said. But now I'm wondering. Right? In a case like that, what you need to do is go to the people that you told those things to and say, you know what? I lied to you about so-and-so. Forgive me for that. And then come to the person that you lied about and tell them, look, I'm sorry that I did that. And I've told everybody else. Because now it's made right. But to just dump the truck like that, well, I made it right. No, you made it worse. If we want to walk in the light of our day, we have to have a forgiving heart. We must travel light. Right? Well, I'm sure they get over it. Well, how do I get over it? Forgive. How do I forgive? Get on your knees. The one that forgave you can help you to forgive. You will be mistreated. You will be lied about. Right? You're not getting out of here unscathed. Listen, if they called our Lord Jesus Beelzebub, what would they call you? Right. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. If they spoke evil things against him, Friends, part of it is just a test. Because part of passing the test is not allowing what other people say or do to change you. If you're not that, well, then you're not that. Don't let it make you be something else. Be who you are. In spite of what other people say or do. And pray for them. And if we are walking in the light, as he's in the light, then John said, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now we can't walk with him. We can't walk with the one that's seated on the throne and have unclean lips or an unforgiving heart. Where he is, there's mercy. Where he is, there's grace. Where he is, there's forgiveness. Where he is, sin is judged, but not the sinner. Where he is, there's forgiveness. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe there's something here for all of us. I believe that we have to be reminded of these things sometimes. I believe that some of us have some things where we were hurt years and years and years ago. And it caused you to become a victim. And we suppress it. We don't think about it. We ignore it. But it's still there. And it needs to be dealt with. It could be 30 years ago. It could be 30 minutes ago. It doesn't matter. It affects us. It affects our walk. I believe that if we ask the Lord to search, to do that search and look down into, maybe you don't look at it this way, but maybe you hate your dad, but you don't look at it as I hate my dad. But if you really looked at it, you hate your dad. Because it's something that your dad did over and over and over, whatever it is, right? You don't have to go through life that way. You don't have to carry that. It doesn't have to. You can be free of that and actually be at the place where you actually feel sorry. Brother Brown's a good example of that. Remember all the things that his dad put him through? And yet he didn't want his dad to die a sinner. Prayed for him, led him to Christ. Said good things about him there at the end. Did you notice that? Anybody ever notice that? In his testimony, talks about some of the rough things that took place, but towards the end of the road, he said a lot of good things about his dad. Our parents aren't perfect. Most of the time, they're trying to do their best under the circumstances that, maybe they've had a tough time in life themselves, and maybe they haven't sorted through their own childhood. A lot of times, a parent will raise their children and do things that were done to them that they didn't like. But they never really dealt with it. And life has a way of just carrying on. We don't have time to sit around and think about everything. Never gave it over to the Lord. And so you end up doing the thing that was done to you that you didn't like. Whatever it might be. And then maybe you blame it on genetics or whatever. But friends, there's a power here to forgiveness. Amen. Just letting go of it, releasing it. Healing can come. And trust can come, and fear can move out, and love can enter in, faith can take its place. This is not being ministered to single anybody out or single anything out. There's something all of us can get from this. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you here this evening, Lord, David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, that's our desire, is to have the right spirit in every circumstance, to not harbor hard feelings in our heart, ill feelings towards others. And Lord, your prophet told us in one place, he said, when somebody does you wrong, he says, not you think they did you wrong. You know they did you wrong. He said, take it before the throne. Take it before you. Pray for that person fervently. Stay there. He said, after a while, you'll begin to see what that person's going through, and you'll feel sorry for that person. And you'll be praying for that person instead of wanting fire and brimstone to fall upon them, instead of wanting them to be judged for the harm that they did to you. Instead, you'll be able to rise up above it and to forgive. Lord, that's what we want. That's what we want in every situation in our lives. We don't want to carry baggage around, Lord. We don't want to have open wounds that have not healed. And we know that so much of the time, these wounds, they just need some forgiveness to take place. Or maybe we need to be forgiven, Lord. Sometimes there's hurt in the body. And we can look at somebody and we can all be such experts at saying, well, that person's hurting. But Lord, can we recognize that we've done something to cause that pain, and we're holding back our brother or sister's healing because we haven't been sensitive to your leading in our lives. We haven't went and asked for forgiveness for whatever it might be. Lord, help us. Help us to be more sensitive. Help us, Lord, on a daily basis to search our hearts and to allow you to search our hearts, Lord, to see if there's anything. Lord, we partake of communion bimonthly now. And we know, Lord, that before we partake of communion, that Paul instructed us to tarry one for another, to make things right, to forgive, to ask for forgiveness. But Lord, really, we ought to be doing this every day. It's something that ought to be just an integral part of our walk. We don't want anything be between you and us, and we don't want anything to be between us and others. Lord, we can't help what other people do, and we're not responsible for what other people do, but we are responsible, Lord, for what we do. And Lord, we want to travel light. We want to be able to overcome in every situation in our lives. And sometimes, Lord, the pain that's been inflicted on us, sometimes those are the hardest things for us to get past, because we feel like we're such victims and we hold on to that. We nurse it instead of looking for a way to get free from it. Lord, there's power in forgiveness. We thank you for the reminder in your word tonight, Lord. Thank you for bringing spiritual food in due season. Now, Lord, I pray that if there's anything in our hearts, Lord, that we're holding against anyone, that we would make that right, Lord, that we would forgive, we would ask for forgiveness, whatever the case might be. And Lord, just the peace that passes all understanding, sometimes Holy Ghost-filled believers can be robbed of that peace for a season because of a need to forgive or to ask for forgiveness. Lord, let these things work out in our lives. Give us the grace, Lord, to be brave and to act upon whatever you bring to our remembrance. Lord, if everything's is well, if each and every one can say it is well with my soul, that there's nothing here for me to do, let it just be a reminder to us then, Lord, of on a daily basis. But I suspect, Lord, that if we lay before you for any period of time, that we'd have some searching to do. And Lord, if we searched and nothing was brought up, well, that's valuable in itself, and we'd want to keep it that way. But if something is brought to our remembrance, Lord, may we have the grace to act upon it, not allow it to hinder us or to hinder the walk of somebody else. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we realize that just for some of the human thoughts that we might have had in our minds today, that we would deserve death just for that. But Lord, your blood has made a way for us. And Lord, we're pleading that blood. We still need an attorney. We still need a high priest who's touched by the feeling of our infirmity. We still need to say that we're sorry. And Lord, I'm sure that we'll be saying we're sorry clear up to the body change. And we pray that it would be less and less as we mature, as we grow, as we surrender and allow your word, as we feast upon that word and allow it to have greater and greater preeminence. But Lord, we're not looking for perfection in this flesh, but we're looking to bring this flesh in its subjection to the word. And we know that it's going to require some humility, and it's going to require us to humble ourselves so that we're not humbled. Father, won't you grant it tonight? I pray that you minister to every soul, Lord, every heart, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'd wonder who'd want to lift their hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, there's something that I'm having trouble forgiving, or I know that I need to forgive something, and Lord, I need help. I want you to help me to get past this. I want you to take away the fear of repercussions, fear that it's only going to get worse. Because Lord, the fact is, it will only get better. You wouldn't ask us to do these things and there not be some power behind it. You wouldn't ask us to do these things. And you said, Lord, that when others would speak evil for the Son of Man's sake, to count it a joy. Well, there's no way we could count it a joy if we're harboring unforgiveness or hurt in our hearts. So there must be a way, Lord, for us to count something a joy. There must be. Lord, I pray that you'd look upon every hand that's lifted in the building. And I pray, Lord, that you'd move on every heart. And Lord, there are hands lifted all over the building. And Lord, only you know, and it's only between you and each one. I thank you, Lord, for the courage that's in the hearts that have raised the hands. And I trust, Lord, there are those that are listening in tonight or that will listen in the future. Lord, I'm sure that they're raising their hands now or will raise their hand. And I'm sure that you see it, Lord. And I'm sure, Lord, that you'll give them the grace that they're asking for to follow through, Lord, and to lay the burden down and, Lord, to seek forgiveness or to seek to be able to forgive. Bless each and every one, Lord. We're just so thankful. We want to be more like you, Lord. We want to be, what a compliment it would be to be mistaken for you, not as a Messiah, not as somebody's Savior, but somebody that is so Christ-like that others would just see your spirit on display in our lives, where we're quick to forgive, we're quick to forget, quick to grant mercy. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you. We thank you. Lord, we're so thankful that you would bring these things to our attention. Lord, if you didn't, we would just continue right on. But Lord, when you bring these things to our attention and gives us an opportunity to repent, we're thankful for that. It lets us know where we need to repent. And we're thankful for that. We know it's your love that does that. It's not condemnation. Lord, it's liberty. It's deliverance. It sets us free. Free to walk with you. Free to lay down weights, things that beset us. Lord, to lay down complexes, fears, doubts, what have you. So we thank you for that tonight, Lord. Now I just ask that you bless each and every one. We give you all praise and honor and glory now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.
hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is called.